In typical fashion, I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 2. So turn with me to Acts chapter 2. And you know, today is Baptism Sunday, so what a better way by shaping our understanding of baptism by looking at the Word, right? By letting the Word shape our experience for us. So to give you a little background history, in Acts chapter 2, Peter and the other disciples have just experienced Pentecost. In fact, they're in the process of experiencing Pentecost. And it says that the Spirit fell on them and rested upon them as if tongues of fire was resting on each of them as they stood there in that place, right? And so, because the disciples were dealing with people that were from many different ethnic backgrounds, they had to have a baseline of understanding of where this was coming from, of what was happening. And so, they went to the Scripture too, right? I think it's appropriate that they go to the Scripture. Now for them, they went to the book of Joel, right? For us, we're going to read from the book of Joel, but we're going to do it by reading in Acts. How cool is that? I always love it when Scripture does that. We get to read in the New Testament, and they're looking back into the Old Testament and how all these different things had pointed to them to this moment. So here, let's read here in Acts chapter 2, verse 17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. And they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. So, then he goes a little bit further and he talks about David. And he talks about how what they understood David's death to represent for them in that moment. So we're going to skip down to verse 36. Verse 36 says, therefore let all Israel be assured of this. Okay, this is important. Let all of Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? There's a response. They hear the word, and there's a response. What shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their numbers that day. Amen. Can you imagine this scene? Can you imagine Peter standing in front of these people? And they're all from different backgrounds. But remember, they're hearing the message in their own language. Because that's how powerful and incredible God is. That's how incredible His Holy Spirit is. He gives them the ability to communicate across any boundaries. There were Jews, there were Gentiles, there were people from all different backgrounds that were hearing this message. They heard the message, and what does it say that they do? They start asking, what shall we do? There was a call to respond. But I don't want you to miss something here. There's a pattern in the message. Not only the first pattern is, it says, I will pour out my Spirit on those days. I will pour out my Spirit. A couple of times in the passage it says, I will pour out my Spirit. But there's something interesting about the timing of this. First, he calls them to repent. Second, he calls them to accept. And third, they're baptized. That's the order. Repent, accept, be baptized. That's important for us this morning. And so, how many does it say that they were added to their numbers that day? 3,000. 3,000. Now, this is the first example of a pastor counting on Sunday morning, right? Right? Because, you know, Peter's the first pastor. So he does the whole, yeah, there was about 3,000, which meant there's probably about 2,500, you know, or so. And they ask him, Peter, you counting ears or are you counting heads? What's going on here? You know, I'm just teasing. Peter, you know, he looks out and they say that over 3,000 accepted the message and were baptized. Now, could you imagine how long it took to baptize 3,000 people? Can you imagine how long that would take? Now, here's a better question for you, a follow-up question to that. Do you think anybody who just experienced the transformational power of Jesus Christ, do you think any of them cared how long it took for them to be baptized? No! Absolutely not. They were so excited. They were living in response. They were going, I've heard this transformational message. I'm asking you, God, the question, what shall we do? And Peter, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, says, repent, accept, be baptized. Right? So, they didn't wait. Or, you know, they might have waited a long time. But for them, it was worth it. It was worth it. Now, we're going to do something really crazy this morning. And I pre-warned you. I pre-warned you that today's going to look a lot different than what we're used to. Amen? But you know what? I'm going to challenge every believer that hasn't been baptized to be baptized today. I know you're looking at me like, did he just say what I think he said? I'm going to call every believer who hasn't been baptized to today, not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, today, to stand up for your Lord and to be baptized. I know, it's crazy, right? But it's awesome. God's Spirit is driving this. And so, for us this morning, we get to experience this death and resurrection. Now, I'm not going to speak very long. I know, praise the Lord, right? So I'm going to go through. We're going to do a little lesson. I'm going to have a little teaching, and then I'm going to give you some instruction, and we're going to celebrate this morning. And you know, God has laid this on my heart. I can't tell you enough that God is in this. God has brought me my prayer this morning. God has brought me to my knees over today. And I know it's going to look different. It's going to feel different. And we're not trying to take away anything from the people that have already chosen to be baptized this morning. But it's about the biggest point of baptism. It's about making the choice. It's about standing up. So the one thing that we're going to do is we're going to do this biblically. Okay? We're going to do this according to our kind of practices as Nazarenes, as the Nazarene church. And then the third thing that we're going to do today, we're going to celebrate. Amen? How many of you came to celebrate this morning? Come on, let's give them a praise offering. I came to celebrate. I came to celebrate. You know, for me, people say, you know, Pastor, you're out of control. Absolutely. I am out of control. I'm out of control for Jesus. Right? I'm not going to let anybody hold me back. You know, because remember, what do we talk about? If we don't cry out, then what's going to cry out? A stone, a rock. I am not going to let a rock cry out in my place. Amen? Amen. So we're going to read this passage, and we read this passage, but we need to be careful that it doesn't fall flat. You know, because it can. It can. If we're not careful, the passage that we just read can fall flat because there's a lot of things that are happening. You know, I mean, we're blown away by the numbers. We're blown away that 3,000 were added to their numbers that day. And then we actually understand later in the scripture that it was multiple times that happened. It wasn't just once. It was multiple times they added to their numbers, right? And it was because people were responding. And I want to make sure that we don't miss the sequence. Repent, believe, and be baptized. And we don't want to get this out of order. And I believe that there are many people in this place. I know for a fact that there are many in this place that you've come to the place of believing. You've come to the place of acceptance. But you haven't taken that step of baptism. Now, I'm going to be honest with you this morning. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 2 minutes, 2 hours, 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, or 22 years. I don't care how long it's been. I want you to step up. I want you to be able to experience His death and resurrection in the symbolic nature of baptism. To experience His cleansing water to fall over you. It doesn't matter how long. There is no time frame in this. But there is a call. There is a call to be baptized. It's biblical. It's not just denominational. It's not just something that we do in the church. You know, the history of baptism for the church only dates back 150 years. What we know to be baptism as, you know, people coming up and giving the testimony, and then we take our time and we baptize them, that's only 150 years old. What we're going to celebrate this morning is something that's been in place for over 2,000 years. Amen? Because that's the exciting part about it. That's the exciting part about it, is we get to participate in that. And so I want to tell you, today is your day. Today is your day. And you know what? If right now you're getting a little nervous, good! That means the Spirit's already pointed you out. Right? I do not have the power of conviction. Only the Spirit can do that. So right now, if your heart's pumping a little bit and you're going, oh my word, He's talking to me. I'm not talking to you, the Spirit is. The Spirit's already working. And the Spirit's telling you, He's talking to you. Right? How exciting is that? I don't have to do it. You know what? I could walk out the back door right now, and this thing's going to happen. It's going to happen. Because God is in this place. Amen? So, man, we're going. We're going. Y'all ready? I need some affirmation this morning. If y'all are with me, just give me a hearty amen. Amen. All right, good. Here we go. I'm about to do my stepping. Anyway. Joel says in the last days that God will pour out His Spirit. That there will be prophecies, there will be visions, that your young men will dream dreams, right? And he says that there'll be wonders in heaven and signs on earth, and that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone say, will be saved. Will be saved. That's a promise. It doesn't say, may be saved. It doesn't say, might be saved. It doesn't say, well, maybe after they get their act together, they'll be saved. It says if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Now here's where the passage gets real exciting. Peter uses this passage to show them that what they're experiencing in that very moment. He uses this passage. He says, hey, by the way, folks, you remember this? Remember this, what we're reading in Joel? You remember that? This, what we're experiencing right now, is that. He's calling out the Scripture and saying, it is fulfilled today. How awesome is that? Now, here's where it gets really cool for us. This is awesome. This is awesome. This is where it gets really cool for us. You know what they experienced back then? You remember the 3,000 that were added to their numbers that day? Remember the excitement when the Holy Spirit fell and they all heard the message? They received it. They believed. They were baptized. Guess what, folks? Today is that day. We're calling the Scripture out into the here and now. We get to experience the same today. Amen? That is so exciting to me. Maybe it's just me, but I'm excited. I don't want you to miss this moment. I don't want you to miss your moment. I want you to understand this morning that there are amazing, amazing things that are happening in this place. And I don't want us to miss it. I want us to move now to Acts chapter 8. We're going to look at the story of the Ethiopian treasury official. And I want to tell you before we read this story in Acts chapter 8, the eunuch didn't miss it. Okay? I'm going to give you the end before we even start. The eunuch didn't miss it. So here we are, Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road. The desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Amen, that's awesome. He goes to worship, and he comes back from his worship experience, and he goes, I have to read something. Isn't that how typically that happens? You get excited for the Lord. What do you want to do? You want to be immersed in it. Right? You get excited for the Lord, and what do? You want to be immersed in it. That's good stuff. Tell your neighbor. Say, that's good stuff. It's good stuff. All right. Here we go. Verse 28. And on his way home, was sitting on his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. I love the fact that the writer makes a real clear point here to include how Philip approached the chariot. Now the Spirit said, now Philip, I want you to go and I want you to stand, okay, with the chariot. All right. And what's Philip's response? He bolts over to the chariot and he's like, yeah, let's do this. You know, and there's an excitement there. So he goes and it says he ran over to the chariot and he asked him a question. He heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. I love the fact that they include the scripture that he was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from earth. Now, you and I both know who is the scripture referring to? Jesus, right? The Ethiopian eunuch is reading this. He's got questions. He has questions. So the eunuch asks Philip, tell me please, who is the prophet talking about? Is he talking about himself or is he talking about someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. He started with that very passage in the book of Isaiah and he started to tell him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Why shouldn't I be baptized? He gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. And Philip baptized him. I love this story. I love this story. This is an amazing story to help us see the passion and the excitement that the eunuch had to know and understand God's word. And to know and understand that when he heard that word, just like they did in Acts chapter 2, what does he do? He responds. He responds to what he's hearing. Now, I have to tell you, one of my major goals as a senior pastor, especially of this church, is to excite you. To excite you to live boldly for Him. That's it. That for me is one of my number one responsibilities, is to realize that we don't serve a dead Savior. We don't serve a dead God. There's many, many people in this world, guess what? They're worshiping a dead God. But we worship the risen Savior. We worship the God. I'm all messed up here. Sorry, Kevin. But we worship the risen Savior, the living God. And that to me should be exciting. That should be exciting. That should carry us with us on Monday when days get long and hard, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, all throughout the week. We need to be excited about that. So he's excited about God's word. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And Philip began to explain the passage of scripture. And he pointed it back to Jesus. And what was the eunuch's response to the good news? What was his response? Verse 36, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And he asked the question, why shouldn't I be baptized? Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Now, I don't know about you, but that must have been some chariot. Right? You got Philip, you've got the eunuch, and you got the driver all in the chariot. So he had like, you know, 22s rolling on that or something, I don't know. But, you know, that chariot must have been nice. Remember, he's the treasury official. He's a high, important official. He is a person that has no reason to even need to be baptized. He has everything he needs. Why would he need to be baptized? Right? He's, look at me. I have everything that I need. I'm in charge of the Queen of Ethiopia, Candace. I'm in charge of all of her treasury. And he walks around and he can be pious. He can be, I've got everything. I don't need anything else. But you know what? That's not how we approach God, is it? That's not how we approach God. Because what we realize is you can have all the treasures of this world and you can still die lonely, depressed, I mean, not experiencing the gift of salvation. But this man, by all purposes, really had no business, but God got a hold of him. And he said, I'm going to live my life for Christ. I'm going to live my life for Christ. He stops and there's some water. And he says, why? Why shouldn't I be baptized? So I want us to understand something. 27 different times in the book of Acts. 27 different times in the book of Acts, people were baptized. First they believed, then they were baptized. And I'm going to tell you again, I want to make this clear. This is not a denominational thing. This is a biblical thing. Right? This is not a denominational thing. And we as Nazarenes, we wholeheartedly believe in baptism. I want you to hear me say that. We believe in baptism. But I don't get paid more if you get baptized. Right? I don't get a gold star if you get baptized. There's nothing in this for me. It's all about Him. Praise the Lord. And so I want to offer you the opportunity to put your stamp on your faith. To put your stamp on your faith. That's what this morning is about. Think of it this way. Think of it this way. Think about baptism as the wedding ring of your faith. Ooh, see, that was good. That was good. I heard an ooh. Think about that. Think about the moment. Now, for some of you, you know this moment. It's the moment that you walked down the aisle. For some of us guys who have the privilege to be married, remember standing at the front and watching as our bride walks in, right? And there was an exchanging of rings, a symbol of our marriage. Think about baptism being the symbol of your faith. To be able to say, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to walk down the aisle. I'm going to commit. I'm going to show the world that I have decided to follow Jesus. And I'm going to make the public declaration. Not just, it's not about me. It's not about myself being baptized. It's about Him. It's about living for Him. Whew. So, and you need to be careful. You really do. You need to be careful that you don't disown Jesus. Right? What does the Scripture say? Scripture says very clearly, Matthew chapter 10, verses 32. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. These are the words of Jesus. Whoever acknowledges me, whoever steps up, whoever puts the stamp on their faith and says, I'm going to live for him, I, it says right here, will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But there's consequences when we disown that relationship. I want to be clear. There are consequences if you disown your relationship with Christ. He says right here very clearly, but whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Now, some of you are going to say, well, Pastor, you're a little, that's, come on, back up a little bit. It's a little rough. That's not my words. That's God's words. That's the Scripture talking. We've got to be careful here. We have to be careful. So the first step Jesus calls us is with the following him and being baptized. And again, these aren't my words. Look at Matthew 28. So if you're in your Bibles, look at Matthew 28 and verse 19. Now, we're familiar with this. We know this as the Great Commission, correct? There's some action words here. I'm going to read this. Therefore, go. Everybody say go.
Go.
And make. Everybody say make.
Make.
Disciples of all the nations. Baptizing. Everybody say baptizing. Them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them. Everybody say teaching. Them to obey everything I have commanded you. Hear the action words again. Go. Yeah, say it with me. Go. Make. Baptize. And teach. We can't get this out of order. And I think sometimes we do. I think sometimes we tend to be a little nervous about how bold Jesus is. Aren't we? In the Scripture it says to go and make disciples. To go, to make, to baptize. And then what's the last part of that? Teach. We tend to think that we've got to teach first. We tend to think that we have to get things kind of right, before we make the decision, before things happen, which a part of that is true. I don't want to take that away. But the Scripture says very clear here that we're to first go. Because guess what? You can't teach if you don't go. How are you going to teach somebody if you never go out and meet them? And we're to make disciples. You'll hear me say this a number of times. God has not appointed me to grow the church. I, as a senior pastor, am not appointed to grow Trinity Church of the Nazarene. That's God's job. It's clear in Scripture that God is the only one that will grow this church. Amen? But there is a call to me. And it's to go, it's to make disciples, and it's to baptize. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach. And guess what? This morning, our exercise in baptism, it's my opportunity to do what God has called me to do, and to baptize you as believers who haven't been baptized before, and to put your stamp on your faith, to wear your ring and say, I'm going to stand, I'm going to walk down the aisle, I'm going to get wet for you. Think about this. Christ died on a cross, and we're not willing to get wet for Him? Wow. Wow. Hopefully right now there's something that's rolling around in your mind, and you're thinking to yourself, why shouldn't I be baptized? Maybe you're the Ethiopian eunuch this morning, and you're going, why shouldn't I be baptized? Baptism is an outward expression of an inward change. It's a decision that should be made after you put your faith in Christ. The Bible tells us that this is the next step in our point of salvation. We experience the salvation, and then we experience baptism. And then the Bible, like I said earlier, doesn't put a time frame on this. The Bible doesn't say that there's a certain period of time in which you accept Christ and then you're baptized. We tend to be the ones that put the timing on it. We tend to be the ones to say, oh, why don't you wait a little bit, right? Why don't you wait? But the Scripture's saying, no, because when you believe, you're baptized and then you teach. You know, the Ethiopian eunuch, he didn't be baptized. He wasn't baptized because he had to. He was baptized because he wanted to. Because you can say, now, Pastor, I can still enter heaven, right, and not be baptized. That is absolutely correct. You can enter heaven. You can, you know, give your life to Christ and never be baptized. And when you die, you will go to heaven. You can do that. I've got a question for you. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to do that? You know, why would you not want to be baptized? Baptism is an opportunity to clothe yourself in Christ. Galatians 3, 26 and 27. You are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but if there's any clothing that I want to wear in my life, it's the clothing of His righteousness. Amen? If there's any bit of garment that I ever want to wear and show people of what I'm wearing in my life, it ain't going to be Gucci, it ain't going to be Armani, you know, it ain't going to be, you know, the $1 million suits and whatnot. It's going to be God's righteousness clothing me, as it says here in Galatians. Because it says that for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Romans 6, verses 3 through 5. And this is one of the scriptures that the Nazarene church is very foundational on when it comes to baptism. So I want you to hear this morning. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore, watch me. We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into His death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We are buried with Him in His death, in His death in the water. But we are made new when we come out of the water and experience His newness. Amen? If we have been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. That's a promise. That's the good news. That if we experience The fact that the Scripture tells us time and time again, I am crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live, but He lives where? In me. Now, here it comes. Here it comes. The little voice in the back of the head starts creeping in and starts making the excuses, right? Well, Pastor, I didn't come prepared. Well, guess what? We came prepared for you. We came prepared for you. Every person that wants to choose to be baptized today, you're going to get a shirt. And it's exactly like this one. And you're going to get this shirt and you're going to get black shorts. Okay? And we're going to make sure that the process is not, won't be dreadful. It's going to be exciting. We're going to celebrate. So we have a shirt for you. We have shorts for you. And you get to keep them. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what. Where are my teenagers? I'm going to talk to you guys for a second. Check this out. As teenagers, now there's probably more of some around, but you all are kind of concentrated right in here. As teenagers, you walk around in your faith in Christ. And sometimes there's moments where you say, I have decided. What does it look like on Monday if you go back to school and you wear this shirt and you say, guess what? I've decided. Oh, what have you decided to do? I've decided to follow Jesus. How cool is that? Because I know that there are times in our faith journey, and this goes for every adult and every kid and every teenager in this room. There are times in our faith journey where we want to hide, where we want to say, yeah, I've decided. Right? Shh. And you pull your buddy and say, hey, by the way, I've decided. Have you ever met a new Christian? Do they ever say, I've decided? No. They scream it from the mountaintops because something transformational has happened to their life. And they get to cry out, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And so I challenge you. I challenge my teenagers this morning. What's it look like for you? I know, like your armpits are all sweaty. You know what I mean? You're thinking to yourself, oh my word, you know, if I wear my shirt on Monday, I have decided. People are going to be like, what'd you decide? I'm going to tell you this right now. As a person who's walked in your shoes, I'm going to tell you this. When I started to actually live out my faith, and I didn't mess around, and I told people who I was, they actually gave me more respect than the times that I told them I was a Christian but didn't live it out. Anybody else have that experience? Anybody else have that experience? You live your life for Christ, right? And all of a sudden people go, wow, I thought you were a Christian. Don't you hate hearing that? I thought you were a Christian. I didn't get any respect from my friends at all when I said I was a Christian, but I didn't show it. But when I started to actually live out my faith and I said, God, I'm going to live for you no matter what, no matter what it costs me, no matter what ridicule, what shame, it doesn't matter. And all of a sudden, something amazing happened. My friends respected me. They were like, man, that's cool. You're going to be a priest? Well, no. I'm not going to be a priest. I'm going to be a pastor, you know. And they're like, oh, cool. You know, now do you get married and stuff? Yeah. I get married and everything. Well, I mean, Lord willing, the creek don't rise. So, some of you might be thinking, well, my family's not here. My family's not here. Now, I'm gonna tell you this. I'm going to tell you this. On that day, when you're standing before the Lord, you're standing before the Lord. You're not standing before your family. And as great as it is for our family to experience this, this goes beyond our family. This goes beyond the all of that. It goes directly to the throne room of grace, and it's experiencing His forgiveness. It's living it out for Him and saying, I'm going to put my stamp on this, Lord, for you. It's not about your family. It's not even about you. It's about Him. I'd much rather be in His hands than mine, right? Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, we don't have time. Well, guess what? I'm almost done. We've got time. And I don't want us to think to ourselves, well, you know, I really love to see people be baptized, you know, but I'm just not going to hang around for the celebration. That's the whole point. The whole point is to be able to celebrate with those. And I'm going to call you later that when people are being baptized, right, I want them to hear the celebration when they come out of the water. I want them to know that we as believers, that we are going to celebrate with them. Amen? Now, I'm fearful that some of you will hear me say that baptism is the way to heaven. And I want to make sure to be very clear about this. Baptism is not the point of salvation. Okay? Ephesians 2, verse 8 tells us very clearly, for it is by God's grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Amen? So I want you to hear this. No work can save you. Doing more won't save you, and it can't save you. Giving more won't save you. It can't save you. Going to church more won't save you. It can't save you. Only God can do the salvation work. Baptism is not about salvation. It's about identification. Baptism is not about salvation. It's about consecration. Amen? We make the mistake of thinking to ourselves, well, Pastor, I'm not really worthy of this. You don't know the life that I've lived. You don't know the mistakes that I've made. And the truth is, you walk away and you say, well, I'll do it when I have my act together. I'll do it when I have things figured out. I want you to hear this morning. If you could wash yourself, you wouldn't need Jesus. If you could wash yourself, you wouldn't need Jesus. That's not what today is about. Today is about Him. It's about stepping up and making that choice. We preach a message in this church that I want to reiterate. The message that we preach is come as you are. Come as you are. Not come as you think you are. Not come as your neighbor sees you. Not come as even you think that God sees you. But come as you are. Now, some of you this morning have been baptized. And you say to yourself, I want to experience this again. Well, I've got bad news. You don't need to experience it again. You've been baptized. And the work has been done. Now, in that moment, maybe what you need to do is symbolically die to yourself and say, God, I'm going to turn it back over to you. But you don't need to be baptized again. Now, some of you were baptized as babies. And we in the Church of Nazarene, we do infant baptism. It's something that we do. And we do baby dedication as well. And if you this morning have been baptized as a baby, you didn't get to make the choice. You didn't get to choose your baptism. And so for you this morning, this is your opportunity to choose. This is your opportunity. It doesn't negate what you did as a baby. In fact, what I believe is it puts even a bigger stamp on what your parents did for you back then. Because guess what? The reason they baptized you is because they wanted you to grow up in the faith. It's because they wanted you to have a relationship with God. And you know what you get to say to them this morning? Look, I'm doing it. I'm doing it for Him. I have decided. Nobody can force you. I can't grab you by the neck, take you in the water. You know, I mean, that would just be awful. You'd be like, you know. This isn't a force thing. I can't do that. Only you can do that. For some of you this morning, you might be making a first-time commitment to Christ. And what you've heard this morning is transforming your life. And you in this moment want to say, God, I need to surrender it all. I need to surrender all to you. I want to give my life to you. I want to experience complete surrender. I want to experience your forgiveness, your love. And you can call out to Him all the sins of your past. But guess what? Even calling out all your sins of the past, it's not going to go deep enough. You've got to allow God to do that work. You've got to allow God to reach deep down into your heart, to reach down into your soul, and to call out into His holy light all the things that are in that darkness and give it all over to Him. And then maybe in that moment, this morning, you're saying, I want to give my life to you, Lord. And then you're going to put your stamp this morning in baptism. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're a believer in Christ, if you have a faith in Christ, and you have been baptized, I want you to stop listening to me right now. I don't want you to listen to me, because you know what I want you to do? I want you to pray. I want you to pray with everything you have in your heart, and everything you have in your soul, and everything, all the strength that you have. I want you to pray right now, because God wants to do a work. God wants to do a work. There are people on the board this morning that have joined me in fasting. I have fasted for this sucker. Because I know that God has put that burden on my heart. And I know that God wants to do a work. So I want you to, if you're a believer and if you have been baptized, I want you to stop listening and I want you to pray. This is our opportunity to say, Lord, behold, the old is gone, but the new has come in. Behold, I am a new creation. Some people will ask, well, Pastor, I'm not really ready. I don't know that there are times when we're really, really ready. That's why it's stepping out in faith. That's why baptism is a part of our faith journey. How do you ever expect to follow Christ if you're not willing to take the first step? Some will ask, how young is too young? Well, this morning, our kids are here with us in the service. I did that intentionally. I wanted them to be here because I wanted them to experience what this is and have conversations. And I wanted them to be able to know that baptism is something that we believe in the church. And I leave it up to you, parents and guardians and grandparents and aunts and uncles. I leave it up to you to be able to know your son or daughter, or your niece or nephew, or your grandchild, and know exactly where they are in their faith. And so, we will baptize a child if they understand what it means. And so, moms and dads, I want you to be able to have that conversation. You know, and don't worry about it. Don't worry about the time. We're gonna make it, all right? You know, you might not have come with the plan, but we did. So here, I'm gonna share it with you. We have a shirt, we have shorts, and like I said, you get to keep those. We have a system in place that's going to ensure that you will have a private changing area. We have volunteers that are in place that are going to help you along the journey of getting from point A to point B. We have a towel for you when you get out. And again, like I said, we have volunteers that are staged throughout. We have people that will watch your stuff. And we even have plastic bags for when you're done being baptized to put your wet clothes in. Amen? So we've tried to go through all the process to be able to eliminate any excuse. There's no excuses. Moms and dads, you might make a choice this morning for both of you to be baptized. Don't worry. We got your kids. There's plenty of people in here that I fully trust that can sit with your child. Okay? Trust me. So, basically what will end up happening is, I'm going to call us to respond. I'm going to ask the band to come, and I'm going to call us to respond, and I'm going to ask us all to, in a few minutes, we're going to stand. And when we do, I'm going to ask if you made a decision this morning and you say, I have a faith in Christ, I believe in His death and His resurrection, and I want to put his stamp on my faith, then you're going to stand and you're going to simply just come out and go to the back in the lobby, and the volunteers will take you from there. And they'll direct you which way to go. We'll have two different sides that you can go to on the sanctuary. And then when you get changed, remember, it'll be private changing areas. And if you'd like, you could even use the restrooms that are in the back to change in as well, in a stall. And you'll come down the hallways. Now, there's going to be a lot of moving parts. I'm just going to pre-warn you now, because I don't want us to miss the experience. I don't want us to miss the celebration. So when you go down and you come through, we're going to open up these doors over here, because all the candidates are going to walk through that on the back side of that. And candidates, if you have family that's here and you know that you want them to experience this with you, we're going to ask the family to come with them to the back, and you're going to go in this door right here on the platform, and we put the platform out so that you can stand right there by the baptistry and be able to watch. Now, the coolest thing is, we all have, not all of us, but most of us have really cool phones that do amazing things like take video, right? Or take pictures. Bring them. Get them out. Take some video. This is a celebration. We're gonna experience what God is doing and moving among us. And so, family, I want you to come up and I want you to celebrate. We have a live feed. And Tim, if you can hear me, let's shoot over to the live feed of the baptistry. So we've got a live feed of the baptistry that you're going to be able to see when the people go in the water and come out. And I'm going to tell you right now, church, when they come out, what are we going to do? Woo! We're going to celebrate, right? We're going to get excited. And you, a person, the candidate being baptized, when you come out of the water, you need to look excited because you're experiencing Christ's death and resurrection in that moment. And guess what? We're going to snap a picture. And we're going to put the pictures online so that you can remember this moment. I know you're like, can we get a waiver on this picture taking? Can we get a pass on that? No, you can't get a pass on that because we want you to remember. And I don't know about you, but don't you love it when God does amazing things? Amen. This is an amazing thing. This is an amazing thing. It's an amazing opportunity. So you walk down, and then when you come into the water, you'll just basically stand in the water. You put your hand on your nose like this, whichever hand you feel comfortable with, and you'll put your other hand on your wrist like this. I'll say your name. I'll tell you you're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You'll go down into the water, and you'll come back out. Right? Simple as that. And then you'll walk out of the baptistry from there. And we'll have a towel for you. You'll go back to your changing room. You'll have that opportunity. So this is what I want you to do right now. I want us all to stand. I want us all to stand. And I want us to, in this moment, realize that we don't want to miss this moment. In just a few minutes after we call out, I'm going to have you all move if you want to be baptized. And then the Edmondson and Keel and Etcheverry family, they're going to come down because we get to baptize Ryan and Joy Edmondson right here in the front. And it's going to be an awesome celebration. And so they're going to experience that. And then I want you to move. Are you all ready? Are you all ready to move? Come on. And I'm going to count it down, the count of three. On the count of three, I want you to move. God's speaking to your heart and you say, I believe. I've repented. I'm going to put my stamp on my faith. I want you to step out of the aisles. I want you to go out the back door. Can we do that? Are we ready? Don't miss this moment. This is your moment. What they experienced back then, we can experience right now. Are you ready? One. Are you ready? Two. If your God is moving and saying He wants you to be baptized, I want you to move right now. Three. Come on. Let's go. Let's move. Let's celebrate. Just go ahead and move on out. Move on out. Just go to the back. If He's saying something to you this morning, just move. Ryan and Joy, I'm going to go ahead and call you guys up. And you all just worship. How exciting is this? Amen. This morning, we had the opportunity in about 15 minutes that we did our baptism. We baptized 31 people. How awesome is God? And you know, I know that this morning was a little different than what most are used to. But you know, for me, it wasn't to take away anything. It was to add what God is doing among us. Amen? And so thanks for being here. I want to pronounce a benediction over you. And if you see somebody who's wet, can you give a hug? Can you give them a hug and tell them congratulations? Can we celebrate with them this morning? And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen.